My entire family just got up to go to Bible hour, and my wife said I had to stay and preach, so that's all right. We're glad you're here this morning. We know it being this is a special holiday, being Mother's Day, that we've got a lot of mothers and grandmothers and kids that are here to visit with their moms and grandmas, and so we're glad you're here, visiting maybe with family. Maybe you're here just to worship the Lord, and you've joined us for the first time. Whatever the reason is, we're glad you're here and hope that you'll be strengthened and uplifted by our time together as a people of God. And we do want to say Happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. We thank you for what you mean and what you do for us. And we just want to honor you for your love and the role that you have and have played and that God calls you to. And so we just want to say, Happy Mother's Day to all the moms. I'm always good to read or share something from Irma Bombeck, who had such a knack for writing in her column that she wrote for so many years, as she would express a lot of things. Some of you may remember this or have read this, what she wrote several years ago. It's entitled, When God Created Mothers. It says, when the good Lord was creating mothers, he was into his sixth day of overtime. When an angel appeared and said, you're doing a lot of fiddling around on this one. And the Lord said, have you read the specs on this order? She has to be completely washable, but not plastic. Have 180 movable parts, all replaceable. Run on black coffee and leftovers. Have a big lap that disappears when she stands up. Have a kiss that can cure anything from a broken leg to a disappointed love affair. And six pairs of hands. The angel shook his head slowly and said, six pairs of hands? No way. It's not the hands that are causing me problems, said the Lord. It's the three pairs of eyes that mothers have to have. That's on the standard model, the angel said. The Lord nodded. One pair that sees through closed doors when she asks, what are you kids doing in there, when she already knows. Another here in the back of her head that sees what she shouldn't, but what she has to know. And of course, the ones here in front that can look at a child when he goofs up and say, I understand and I love you, without so much as uttering a word. Lord, said the angel, touching his sleeve gently, go to bed tomorrow. I can't, said the Lord. I'm so close to creating something so close to myself. Already I have one who heals herself when she is sick, can feed a family of six 1 pound of hamburger, and can get a 9-year-old to stand under a shower. The angel circled the model of a mother very slowly. It's too soft, he sighed. But tough, said the Lord excitingly. You cannot imagine what this mother can do or endure. Can it think? Not only can it think, but it can reason and compromise, said the Creator. Finally, the angel bent over and ran his finger across the cheek. There's a leak, he said. I told you were trying to push too hard, too much into this model. It's not a leak, said the Lord. It's a tear. What's it for? It's for joy, sadness, disappointment, pain, loneliness, and pride. You're a genius, said the angel. The Lord looked somber. I didn't put the tear there, he said. Turn over to Titus chapter 2. As we think about moms and the irreplaceable role that you have this morning, mothers, I know that for this day, it doesn't share the same joy that for a lot here, maybe, that it does for others. I know that for some, this day is a very hard day. Maybe your mother is no longer with you. Or maybe you lived in a home where your home was broken and things were not the way they should have been. They weren't the way they should be, and you didn't have a godly mother. Or maybe you're here and you wanted to be a mother, but beyond circumstances, beyond your own choice, you are not able to have children. Or maybe you have children who are still alive, and yet you have a very painful, hurtful relationship maybe with one or maybe all. I don't know. Maybe you've lost a child even. And so I want you to know that as we think about the irreplaceable roles of mom, we are not insensitive to your pain as well. But we see the call of Scripture, and we've been talking this morning in our Bible classes on our core values about the home and the family. And the home is so blessed because God has given us the role, the blessing of motherhood. And Paul would write in Romans 13 and verse 7, to give honor to whom honor is due. And so we do want to honor the godly mothers and what Scripture speaks about that here. And you know, to give honor is, the idea there is to, in some overt, some outward expression, to express gratitude, to express our respect and appreciation. It's what we're going to do next week as we honor our seniors in an overt, outward expression of that accomplishment. And we want to do the same here with moms. And really, I want to note three characteristics that I think we can see from a couple of scriptures here about moms and how they are so irreplaceable. And the first here is in Titus chapter 2. Notice what Paul writes to Titus here, beginning in verse 1 of Titus chapter 2. You, however, must teach what is appropriate to sound doctrine. Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled and sound in faith, in love and endurance. Then verse 3. Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good, that they can urge the younger women, notice, to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands so that no one will malign the Word of God. Three qualities here, three characteristics of mom that I want to note here. And the first here in this passage speaks of their unselfish love. Their unselfish love. That they are to love their husbands and they are also especially to love their children. Now, you and I maybe are familiar with the Greek word. One of the Greek words for love is the word agape. And it's a love that speaks to this unselfishness. It's an other person-centered kind of love. It's looking out for the interests and the needs of other people. And that's the kind of love that God calls us to have, is that kind of unselfish, centered in thinking about others. And that's the love mothers have. But what's interesting here, the word that's used is not the word agape. It's another one of these words that we get for love, phileo. And it's a word that it includes agape, but it deals within the confines of family. It has a family dimension to it. And here he says, they're not just to have that kind of sacrificial love here. They're to have this unselfish love as well here to their children and to their husbands. Paul, as he's calling men and women to embrace the roles that God has given. We talked about some of those in class, I imagine. Here he focuses on the women here, the God-given role that God has given them as wives and as mothers, and they are to have this unselfish love for their family and for their children. Now, Paul is not calling women to be exclusively unselfish in their love. That is, fathers and husbands and other Christians, we don't have to have that. No, of course, we have to have that too. But Paul is highlighting something here, that here is a primary responsibility for the women, and the reason I believe he's highlighting that is simply because God has given this maternal love, this kind of unselfish love that can really only be found in a woman and in a mother here. That just by nature, God seems to have placed this kind of sensitivity in the hearts of women and mothers. And so that they're willing to surrender, that they're willing to be so sacrificial and self-giving to others. And you can prove this in so many ways that you can look at socially. You can look at the evidence of who is it that typically abandons children. It's typically fathers. Now, that's not to say that there are not exceptions and that there are not even mothers that do that. Of course there are. But when you look at the overwhelming evidence, it's typically dads who run off. Dads who just kind of throw off their responsibility so many times. But not moms. So many times these moms have to stay there and continue to love unselfishly. That kind of maternal love that is unselfish. Can you imagine if God would not have put that kind of quality, wired moms in that sort of way, given them that unselfish kind of love? Wow. I guess for a lot of us in the state of Oklahoma, unless you were under a rock this past week, you probably heard something about Kevin Durant winning the Most Valuable Player Award for the National Basketball Association. And his speech really made headways because of his humble, the spirit in which he gave that and how other-centered his speech was. He literally thanked everyone from every player to the trainers to the coaches to the owner to everyone in the Thunder organization. But you remember he got around to the end and talked about mom. Boy, and if you weren't crying already, if you didn't see it or hear it on radio, you surely maybe had to fight off a tear as he described living there outside of Washington, D.C. He and his younger brother and his mother there, abandoned by the father in the home, and how his mom had to sacrifice. He goes on to describe how we were there in an apartment, no furniture. We just sat there in the living room. And he would go on to talk about kept us off the street. She put clothes on our back, food on the table. When you didn't eat, you made sure we ate. He says, you sacrificed for us. And then he said, you're the real MVP. And I'm telling you, if you weren't fighting back a tear, if you saw that or heard that, I don't know what's wrong with you. Speaking to that unselfish love of a mother who just gives and gives and gives. And I've seen this with my mother and my grandmothers, and I mean, they'll just give and give. You know, I'll be wiped out and, you know, I don't want to play with the kids or I don't want to. And, you know, there's mom or grandma and she's tired herself, but she'll get down on the floor and she'll just play and play. And she'll just, I mean, moms just keep going with that kind of unselfish love. Just continue to give and give and give. I've seen this with my own wife and mother of our children, just wore out, tired, frustrated, long day, but come home and just love and give and fix this and clean this and make this and comb our hair and all of those things that moms do. Just such unselfish love. When they're wiped out, when they're weary, they continue to give that kind of love. I see it in some of the young moms. I see it in some of the young moms here. You'll come into church. And my wife is still kind of in that camp a lot in some ways, but I remember those days, and, you know, she would just like a wrestling match in church. I mean, World War III, you know, to get ready, get changed, and time to come into church, and after Bible class, and especially after church, I mean, the hair, you know, the hair didn't look like that when they left the house. But I mean, the hair is just kind of everywhere, and they just look like they've been in a 12-round boxing match and a wrestling ring. I mean, just giving themselves exhausted. And we see that, and we appreciate that so much. That's just kind of the unselfish nature of moms that continue to do that to their children. And so Paul here calls these women, these mothers, to love their husbands and love their wives because they're just how they're wired, and that kind of unselfish love that they give. No one else can bring that kind of unselfish love so many times to a family and to a home like moms. But secondly here, another trait of moms that are irreplaceable is this kind of transparent tenderness. Transparent tenderness. Look at the scripture here. I think I gave it to you up on the screen. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul is writing to the church at Thessalonica, and he's giving some instructions to them, and he's reminding them of his ministry among them. And he uses the language and the imagery of a family in his ministry. Notice he says, instead, we were like young children among you, just as a nursing mother. Notice he compares his ministry and his work at the church at Thessalonica being like a mother, a nursing mother who cares for her children. So we cared for you because we loved you so much. When he thinks about moms, he thinks about that tender care for her children. Now, he's going to get dads. Later on, he'll get dads as well in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. He'll jump down in verse 11, and he'll talk about, you know that we dealt with you just as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God who calls you into his kingdom and glory. And it doesn't mean at times that there's not fathers and dads who don't do that tender love, that kind of transparent, loving care. And that there's times where moms don't do the imploring and the exhorting and the encouraging. Of course, we know that happens for both mom and dad. But typically, it's those moms that do that tender, loving care. The dads will do that imploring, that, you know, they'll have those talks with their kids. I remember sometimes having to go to the store with dad, you know, and you had to have that talk and, you know, son, I understand that there's some problems here. And, you know, dads, we do that. We're good with that. We ain't good at imploring and exhorting and admonishing and encouraging. And then moms come along and they give us that transparent, tender, loving care. Paul says we were like mothers that care for their children here. Just this kind of affectionate, loving, tender way. That's what we get from moms. That's what we get from our moms. We don't get that anywhere else, that kind of transparent tenderness. Moms in a world so cold and hard and brutal, our children need that so desperately. They need that loving, tender care. They can't get that anywhere else like they can from their mother. And again, I've seen that with, you know, our family, mom, grandma. I mean, no one wants to ride with dad or grandpa. No one wants to, my kids have hardly ever fought over who gets to sit by grandpa or granddad. It's always, you know, fighting over who gets to ride with grandma, who gets to sit by grandma, who gets to get up in their lap. I mean, you know, we've had World War III even during the holidays because who's going to, you know, and who's going to sit by? And I mean, they just have that tender, loving care moms do for their children. And that's what we need so, so bad. And I think especially my mind, my heart is heavy for those moms who have to go alone, single moms. And you've got to kind of play all those roles. You've got to be the exhorter and the imploring and the admonishing and the disciplinarian. Don't also lose that loving, tender care as well. It's so critical. It's so critical. We children just thrive with that, that kind of transparent tenderness. But then lastly as well, we also, as we think about irreplaceable moms, we think about how they instill faith. They instill faith. Notice in 2 Timothy chapter 1, notice as Paul writes to Timothy, notice what he says here. He says, I recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, that's a key word there, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that now lives in you. Paul uses a word here that is the word we get, unhypocritical, that sincere, unhypocritical faith. I know of your unhypocritical faith, Timothy, and I know where you got it. You got it from a godly grandmother and a godly mother. Now, here's what's interesting. Timothy's father was an unbeliever. He was a Greek. He was a Gentile. You read that in the narrative story of Acts, in the book of Acts. Timothy's father was not a believer. And so his mother and grandmother were Jews. So his mother was a Jew and she married a Gentile. And so Timothy was not taught the faith of God and of Christ Jesus from his father. He didn't get that from dad. He got that from his mother and grandmother. You know, later on, Paul would tell Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, the familiar scripture. He says in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 14 and 15, he says, "As for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you have learned it." Who did he learn it from? His mother and grandmother. And then in verse 15, he says, "And how from infancy," some translations say childhood, the word is infancy, "how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Since you were a little child," a little infant, "you've been taught, it's been modeled, it's been shared with you in an unhypocritical way, in a genuine, sincere way. You've been taught the faith. You've been taught the Scriptures." I've said this before, I'll say it often when I get on these subjects. Someone says, "When do I need to get my kid in Bible class? When do I need it?" The minute, I mean, from infancy. You talk to that child. You speak to that child Scripture. You model the faith. You say prayers even when the child is, you know, fiddling and crying. And you share God with those children. From infancy, you are instilling faith. You don't wait till they're 5. You don't wait till they're 12. I've had parents come over the years and say, "Don't you think I need to get my kid involved in the youth group now? And they, you know, I need to get them involved in church." Well, how old's the kid? Oh, he's 13. He's 11. Oh, from infancy, mothers teach their children Scripture. They model the faith. Genuine Christian living. So critical. No one else can do that in such a special way and role as moms can. And so, even in the worst of situations, like Timothy was raised in a home where it was divided religiously. His father was not a believer. He was modeled, the faith was modeled before him. The Scriptures were read to him. And that faith was instilled in him. And Paul recalls that here in this passage. See, moms have so much, they have such great opportunities, especially when they're young, especially when they're little, because moms are going to spend a good amount of time with those children. They're going to be around them an awful lot, and they've got a great opportunity to model and to teach. Those who deal in sociology will say, you know, children at a very young age, you're starting to develop their personality and their characteristics and all of that even before they even get, you know, 5 or 6 years of age. It's so critical, and moms have that very special role to instill faith in their children. You know, of course, in the book of the Old Testament, God calls his people, husbands, wives, moms, and dads, of course, to model the faith, teach the children. When you walk and when you sit and when you get up and when you're in your home, you constantly are sharing the faith with them, and you're living that faith, and that's critical here. Moms and dads, you've got to live it. You can't just say, "All right, I'm in Bible class. We went to church this morning," and then we get in the car and we act like it has no effect on our life. No, you've got to model unhypocritical, genuine faith because it has a great impact on those children, on our kids. You know, moms, you are so irreplaceable. And in so many ways, you have a thankless job. And in some ways, maybe you're becoming an endangered species. But God calls mothers here and fathers in the home to raise their children, to love their children, to be faithful to where God has called them to be and the roles He's given. And no one can take your place. You have an irreplaceable role, Mom. And we thank you for that. We honor you. I stand here in some way to express in an overt, outward way just how much we appreciate you. And that's what we're trying to do here, is we honor God this morning and the role of motherhood that He calls women here in life. Well, of course, our lesson this morning is not intended to teach the plan of salvation, but just like we mentioned with Timothy, his mother and grandmother instilled the faith, genuine, sincere faith, and that began in their infancy, and that led them to Timothy to come to faith in Christ Jesus for salvation. And so if you're here this morning and you need to come to the salvation that's found only in Christ, we never want to offer the invitation without giving you a chance, closing our services, without giving you a chance to obey. Put Christ on in baptism, reenact the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, surrender to the Lord to be Savior and Lord of your life. Maybe you've done that as a Christian, but you're struggling in some way. You're not fulfilling the roles and the responsibilities that God calls you to, whether that's to a father, a mother, or whatever it might be in your life. Maybe you're here and you want to identify and become a part of this church body, and you want to talk to us about that. Whatever your need is, come as we stand and sing.
Of no longer to linger, charmed by world's delight, things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured